You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
If there is one thing the world does well, it's turning women into hashtags before turning them into leaders. We're flooded with campaigns, t-shirts, girl boss mugs. But behind the slogans, there's a haunting silence about what real empowerment costs, about the women doing the work when no one's watching. Today's guest is Ruth Chagwinya, and she is not here to decorate a panel. She's here to disrupt comfort, to dismantle the smoke and mirrors, and to show us that true empowerment doesn't come from the stage. It comes from blood, betrayal, resilience, and radical love for sisterhood. Ruth is the founder of Empower Her, a platform and movement that mentors, equips, and spiritually anchors women across the continent. She's a strategist, an advocate, a minister of truth, and a woman who sat at too many tables where empowerment was spoken about but never practiced. This is not just a conversation you are about to listen to. It is a mirror, a megaphone, and a map. So buckle up and let's welcome Ruth to the show. Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening. Oh my goodness. What an introduction. I was never ready for this.
I hope you're ready for our chat though, because I am so excited to be having this discussion with you.
Oh, thank you. I am so happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Love it. Let's strip it down, Ruth. What is the most dishonest thing you've seen done in the name of women empowerment?
A dishonest thing?
Yeah.
I don't have an answer for that one. I don't.
Interesting. You know. Okay, no. So I've got a submission for this, right? So...
Okay.
I have, and this is a thing that happens on social media. People talk about these things, right? And I was going to ask you about it later, but there's this whole notion that mean girls hide behind these women empowerment events, that somebody in their real life is actually such a mean person, but then they hide behind the guise of, oh, I'm all for women. And I'm just like, if you're going to be for women, then be for women 24 hours a day.
Yes, I've also heard that a lot, and I suppose it's true, and I suppose it's also not true.
Oh, please,
not
dispel
everyone
it for us.
Is a mean girl.
Yes.
Not everyone is out to attack, you know,
to be
a villain in the background. Mm. No.
Okay. All right. So you lead Empower Her. How do you protect the purity of your vision in a world that constantly wants to commercialize everything that is sacred?
To be honest, I don't share everything. I don't always share my plans.
Oh,
I keep it to myself.
Yes, that is such a major one.
Yes.
Especially in the world of content creation.
You never know what I'm going to come up with. You never know my plan. You never know my vision.
Yeah.
I usually just keep everything to myself and I execute as and when.
I love that. And what informs what it is that you do? So I get that you don't really share what your plans are or what you're about to do next. But what are the things that influence and inform what you do with the women that you lead? And maybe for the benefits of those who don't even know Empower Her, how it started, where it came from, who you are, just give us a background of the company and what led you to actually start it.
Okay, to begin with, I am Ruth Chagwinya and I am a girl's life coach.
Yes.
I help young ladies between the ages of 10 and 18 become the best version of themselves.
Oh, I
partner with parents in helping their daughters become the ultimate people that they're supposed to be. Mm. So I'm the founder of Empower Her, a life coaching business dedicated to helping young women embrace their self-worth, discover their purpose, and unlock their full potential.
Yeah.
My passion for guiding girls through confidence building and self-discovery led mm-hmm. me to this industry, or can I call it a ministry, where I could make a meaningful difference to other girls in the world.
Tell us about you between the ages of 10 and 18. Were you a shy girl who needed a confidence boost? Were you a confident girl who thought, if I can lend this, if I can bottle this up and lend it to other girls, they'll be better off? How were you in the time or during the period of the girls that you now serve?
I was quiet.
Yeah.
Okay. I was more introverted, to be honest, such that people who meet me now are so shocked that I'm such an extroverted person. I don't know what happened. Maybe I was still finding myself and, you know, but I know that I also had a very bad temper, and I think maybe it was the hormones that were wreaking havoc. I was not easy to get along with. I think it was also the hormones and just trying to find myself. And so it's through those experiences, through that background, where I said, you know what, let me be the person, you know, who is going to be there for other girls, who's going to help, you know, bring out the best in them and flourish at this age. Because many young girls are not, you know, are finding it difficult to find themselves, to be the best they can be at that age. And so I thought, let me do that.
Oh, wow. I'm resonating so much with what you're saying, because I was also quite a moody girl as a teenager. I was quick with my mouth. I'm still quick with my mouth, but like in a good way. You know, now I have conversations like these. I'm not back chatting adults. I'm not rolling my eyes. But I was quite an unpleasant teenager. And I remember there was a time I did a program at church, and I was just sharing that, yo, when I got baptized, after I got baptized, it's literally like the Holy Spirit came and transformed my attitude, transformed my perspective, transformed my way of relating to people. And then this one granny raised her hand, and I obviously let her speak because it was often program, and she says, everything you are saying is true. You are such an unpleasant teenager. I was like, church, I'm so sorry. I am so, so sorry. So much happens to teenage girls during that time. They don't even know what to term what is going on. And I think for a lot of teenage girls, the disadvantage becomes that because they are too much to handle, some of them, because they themselves don't even know how to even articulate, they get cast aside, right? They get ignored, or they get told such bad things about themselves when all they're trying to do is to discover themselves. And so I love the fact that while they do the work of discovering, you are empowering them so that their journey of discovery is actually viewed in the way that it should. And when they get to the other side, where they can make these reflections, hopefully their reflections are so much better than, yo, Bumi, you were such an unpleasant teenager.
Yes.
Now, I wanted to talk about empowerment, right? Mm-hmm. Empowerment as a concept. Now, the movement of women empowerment and girl empowerment obviously came because there was a disparity, because of how patriarchal our societies and systems are, women and young girls got left behind. But now it seems as if it's now become a gender war, this whole empowerment is. And it's really not, right? Some people feel now that the scales are unfairly tipped against men. So how do you navigate that tension as a builder of women without becoming a bulldozer of men? And as you think about that question, I also want you to think about, are we over-empowering these girls and under-empowering our men, such that these empowered girls now step into the world of work and they've self-actualized, and then they get into these relationships and these marriages with men that just haven't done the work?
Oh, dear. I'm coming from a background as someone who is respective of the male species and who God has made them to be. And women, as we are meant to be in our place and not in their place. Yeah. I am not someone who is emasculating and empowering women to say, go and be stronger than a man,
yes.
go and be disrespectful, go
the
and
future
be
is female.
I am someone who is saying, you can be powerful but still be feminine and respectful, graceful about that.
Yes. And then where girls are concerned, do you think we're over empowering girls and perhaps in focusing too much on the girls, disempowering the men such that our women are so self-actualized and so well-rounded and find themselves with men who just haven't done the work?
I think what we should be saying is the conversation should be, how then do we empower the men? There is a gap there. Where someone should now come in and say, let me start empowering the man in one way or the other. Rather than saying we are all empowering the woman, may there also be someone who's empowering the men. Yes.
But is it really happening? In your view, in your observation, is it really happening? Are men, are young men being empowered with the same veracity and with the same tools that our young women are being empowered?
In all honesty, no.
Why is that? What is going
on?
I
haven't come across a boy child NGO, something to say, let us take the boys to school. Let us empower the boys with soft skills and such a thing. There isn't such a thing in place. And so, in all honesty, there hasn't been anything for the young men.
Ach, man. And that makes me so sad. That makes me so sad. And I think especially now that I'm, you know, I've stepped into my 30s, I'm looking at the men around me. And not because I think, I mean, I know it all or I've done it all. I think there's just so much work also that I still need to do. And some of the work I won't even realize that I need to do until I step into an environment that forces me to do that work, right? But in all honesty, I shudder at the quality of men that we have around us, the quality of young men that we have around us. And I mean, if I'm in my 30s, it means the men I interact with are also in their 30s or possibly in their 40s. And the quality of conversation, the self-awareness, the emotional intelligence, it's just not there. The victim mindset and the abuse that we are being subjected to as women of all kind, financial abuse, spiritual abuse, sexual abuse, emotional abuse, it just really signals the fact that a lot of work is being put into women and not so much work into men. And I don't know if you've thought about how we can actually tip the scale back or even that playing field. What can be done in order for the women to not find themselves disempowered because of all the empowerment that they experienced when they were younger and still encountering or going through as they are growing?
I think that is a rather difficult one. But first of all, I think the male species can be more open to learning new ideas, be open-minded to saying, let me develop myself, let me unlearn, let me learn, where, you know, be self-aware. And in self-awareness, do a self-work such that a better you is coming out. Often I realize that men are very satisfied and happy with who they are. And yet in some instances, the person that they are is not such a good person, actually. So it's important that as an individual, you look at yourself, you have an honest look and say, this is where I'm winning. This is where I'm losing. How can I improve? What needs to change? Which, you know, how can I be the best version of myself? And so I think it begins with the men themselves. It's a mental work. It's a self-work to say, I think I now need to change. Why is nobody happy with the way I am? Why am I imposing this person on everyone who is not making anyone happy? It means that something has to change. You need to do some self-work. But first of all, it starts with you accepting and being open-minded to new ideas, to a new way of thinking, to realizing that you can't remain the same person all the time. You can't always be right. You need to grow yourself in one way or the other. So now and again, do a self audit, do a self check, you know, check on yourself, work on yourself such that you are bringing a better, beautiful, refined, God-fearing you to the world.
Oh, I love that so much. A comment just came in on our WhatsApp, but I'm going to read it as is, and I'd like to hear your thoughts on it. So it says, I remember seeing something on social media where someone said, we don't have a men's ministries department in our church like we do women and children's ministries. Someone brought up AMO, right? Adventist men, but apparently that's not an actual department within our church structure. It just kind of falls under another department, like maybe personal ministries or something. And someone else said the whole church is already men's ministries. That's why we had to carve out a department for women and kids. What are your thoughts on that?
Wow. Wow. You know, it's hectic. It's hectic because you find that, you know, the women, the girls, it's the my sister, my friend, it's your mom, it's the older women having all these programs. And then you look at the young boys in the church and you look and you say, is that going to be my child's husband one day? Is this what you're going to be dating? You know, so with that being said, I'm going to cry out again, you know, and say, Amo, please, 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 let us come to life. Let us do something. Let us be active. Let us start growing such that there's, you know, there isn't this lack of equality, you know, in programs. I see it in my church sometimes where you see that the boys have this look of, how come the girls are getting all the programs? Oh, wow. How come they are having all the fun?
Yeah.
And they are just there. You know, so I felt, yes, indeed, there is a need for our men's department to come to life, to grow. Yes.
Sure. I remember in 2018, I think, when I was still in search for my purpose, like really trying to understand what I need to be doing with my life and what God has called me to do, right? And in that time, I got a coach, an American coach, a business coach, and we were discussing ideas on what I can do. And one of the things that I actually ideated in my mind was something similar to what you do, a mentorship for young girls or coaching for young girls, where I can actually now, the work that I got to do on myself and all the exposure and the things that I was privileged to have to then pass the knowledge and, you know, the expertise and the experience onto these girls. And my coach said to me, do you know that young girls don't have money? I was like, sorry, excuse me. She said, they don't have money. So how are you going to monetize? How are you going to make this a business that you can leave your job for? And I guess I've got the same question for you. How are you monetizing this? Because young girls don't have money.
Hi, Sissy. Those are trade secrets.
So you're not even going to tell us.
And those maybe, are trade secrets.
Maybe not even for my own benefit, but for somebody who's sitting on an idea, right? And an idea that may look like a nonprofit organization because the beneficiaries of the services or the products don't necessarily have the money to invest into those things. So how can they think about ways to actually make something sustainable for themselves and something that they can actually do for a living and not starve or struggle all in the name of doing the good work?
I think I'd say look to where your clients would most probably get money.
Okay.
Who would most likely fund your client?
Yes, that
and
makes
that
sense.
And that is who you sell to.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I'm thinking now, even the messaging changes, right? Because you are then, if it's a parent or if it's the school that you want to target, or maybe even a company that's also interested in your demographic, then the marketing and the messaging is directed to the people who stand to benefit the most from the services that you would be rendering to these people who cannot afford to pay. Am I correct?
That's very correct. Yeah. Yes.
Now, I'd love to know, running something like this, I mean, something that speaks to people's characters and how they show up in the world and how they apply themselves. I'm pretty sure that you get tested in those areas. I've often heard, and I really believe because I've seen it in my own life as well, that, oh, the thing that you're called to do, trust that the devil will come and disturb that very thing in your life. So you start doubting and questioning if you were even called for it, right? And so I'm curious to find out from you, what spiritual disciplines, convictions, and inner work do you have to keep doing to keep yourself and your mission grounded? How do you actually stay pure in a space that easily becomes performative?
Prayer is the key from the beginning. From when I started this, right now, I pray about this every day. Yeah. Before I go and present to people, I pray about it. Mm. I talk to God. I ask God, God, may you please inspire me. Mm. May it be me speaking. May it be you speaking and not me. Yeah. So to be honest, it's a prayer journey.
Yeah.
You cannot make it on your own. You cannot. You honestly can't. And there's no way that I can stand and say, it's because of me that I have done this.
Yeah.
It's actually God. It's a God mission, not my mission.
Yeah. And right now, I really want us to highlight some of the things that girls are going through, right? And girls are experiencing that aren't really ideal. And I want us to have this open, honest conversation and also give some guidance and direction to these girls. Now, I grew up in Soweto. And in Soweto, a couple of things are very, very prominent. Number one, teenage pregnancy. There is alcohol and substance abuse. There is illiteracy, a girl studies and stuff. And then next thing, they're out of school. What happened? For many reasons. There's also a thing where these teenagers and these young women fight. And I mean fight literally, as in punch their mothers, swear at their mothers on the streets or their fathers, whatever. There's so many things that are happening in environments and spaces that our most disadvantaged and less privileged young girls face and are subjected to, right? And so I want us to just go through some of these things that can keep them in these vicious cycles. Teenage pregnancy, number one. I don't know what it is. I don't even think it's the grant money because it's not even that much. I don't know what it is that makes teenage pregnancy so attractive to young women, especially young women in townships. From the work that you've been doing, what is the pull? What is the thing that makes it so attractive to be a young mother and sometimes even not finishing school just because you felt pregnant? And as you share that with us, what is the thing that can be advertised, for lack of a better term, that can be advertised to these young girls that can rival and really beat the idea of being pregnant while they are young and unmarried?
Yeah, that is something that is really hitting our society.
Yeah.
And with such a background, it's society that is molding our young girls.
Mm.
It's the society they have grown up in.
Mm.
It's what their society has fed them.
Mm.
That's what they know. They don't know any better.
Yeah.
So for them, they know that when I get to grade 9, I should be pregnant. You know,
we are
all pregnant and such a thing.
Mm.
I remember when I was delivering my daughter, I was in the same ward with a 15-year-old girl.
No way, Ruth.
You know, yes, I was. And it's an old man who came there. You know, you can already see the scenario, number one. And
goodness.
I remember sometime last year or the other year, I visited a school in Soweto. And we were talking about pursuing education and, you know, having big goals and everything. And they said, you know what? Why are you pushing us to do mathematics? You know, like if people here see you studying, doing maths, doing science, they'll tell you, why are you doing that? That stuff is hard. Stop that. You know, come and join us. You know, we are making it on the streets. Why are you making an effort to go and study?
Mm.
So those are things that in my own capacity, I have seen. It's basically it's a societal thing. It's the society that they are in.
Mm.
They don't know beyond, not many of them rather, know beyond Soweto.
Mm.
Perhaps they do know, but they don't think that they are able to get out of that in order to get out of that place.
Yeah.
They don't think they are worthy of moving to Stanton. Mm. They don't. They, if for other people, it can never be for me. You know, why should I go get that degree? We are okay here. Mm. We are making it. I'll be in that gang. I'll, you know, I'll be sitting at the corner of the street. I can be smoking. It's okay with me. And so that's what, that's the society they are living in. That's what they see. That's what they know. That's what has been perpetuating over the generations. Perchance even that girl's mother was pregnant at 14.
Yes. Yes. And their big sister and their cousin.
Exactly. And that's what they, so even if you're going to get pregnant at 14, you are congratulated. No one stops you.
Oh my. And what can we teach them? What can we tell them that is different to their reality? Because the truth is, you're right. They can't make decisions outside of what they've known. Who will show them the right way? So what can we say as communities, as societies? What can we advertise to them that's more appealing?
I would say the educators in those places. It's up to the educators. As a teacher, you have, it's more than just teaching. It's molding a character. It's molding a child. You're making, you're like creating an individual, you know. Their time with you should change them in one way or the other. The unfortunate thing is that not all teachers are aware of that. Some of them just know that I go to teach and that's it. But are you, you know, there's some teachers who have met who say, this teacher gave me life. This teacher inspired me. I saw who they were and how they carried themselves. And I wanted to be like them. This teacher encouraged me to study. This teacher saw the best in me and said, you are capable. You know, sometimes they just need somebody to believe in them and show them that you are actually capable. And so I would say the key individuals is those that have managed to make it out.
And it's
the educators. Those are the people that are the beacons of light to them.
Oh, man. I have six nieces. My siblings, between them, have six girls. And my nieces range from age 20, and the one is not even 1 year old yet. And I don't want to make the mistake of thinking that it's just the girls who are from disadvantaged homes, who don't have good examples, who can fall into the trap of teenage pregnancy or anything else, right? The truth is, everywhere our girls turn, everywhere our little boys turn, there is sex, it is nakedness, it is this, it is that. What sort of education at home? Because we can't really rely on teachers, because who knows if those teachers are moral or if they made better decisions. Just because somebody has got the position doesn't mean that they haven't done their own things or made the same mistakes. So how can somebody who's listening at home right now, sitting next to their 13-year-old, their 12-year-old, what conversation can they have at the end of this show or at the end of this interview about what it means to really value yourself and to treat yourself with such high regard that you don't fall into traps or these falsities that are presented by the world and ill-meaning boys?
Something that was not communicated to us when we were younger. I believe many of us did not have this teaching. We were not taught to have our own values. Perhaps in passing, it's something that is just a gray area. You don't know that values exist. But we need to teach our children to first of all self-define. Who are you?
Yes.
Who do you say you are?
Yes.
Right. Define yourself. And when you define yourself, define your values. What do you value? And so if you value purity, if you value respect, then those things that you're going to see on TV, those things that you're exposed to around the world, you can easily filter out and say, this is not for me, but this is for me. This is who I'm going to be. This is who I'm not going to be. It's the same thing with the issue of teenage pregnancies. You know, it's a lack of self-awareness where someone hasn't figured themselves out. You are a teenager. You have no business having sex. Why are you having sex?
Yeah.
You know, so it's defining to your child the things that you're supposed to be doing right now in this phase. Help them to understand that, such that they focus and then they can define themselves and apply themselves to the world in a more wholesome way.
That is so beautiful. And another thing that is such a serious scourge and pandemic in the world, especially in this country we are in, abuse, gender-based violence. And the thing with abuse is that it can be very subtle and sometimes very, very clear, right? Subtle in that it could be financial abuse or it could be emotional abuse in a relationship or in the home. And it, the more glaring ways are obviously the physical abuse, where you see scars, you see around the neck that this person was being strangled. And the other thing about abuse is that it doesn't choose. It doesn't go for the ones who don't have money alone. Even for the most empowered, the most confident girls, it can happen. But the problem that I've seen a lot is some women just don't have the wherewithal and the fortitude to leave. Why is that? What is going on? And how can we empower our young girls right now such that they are so strong? And I don't mean like strong enough to tackle men, but they are so strong in themselves and who they are that even a hint of abuse, they run from. And when they do find themselves maybe too late to have run and they are in abusive relationships, that they choose themselves and walk away as early as they can.
I want to say, first of all, let us not judge those that are not walking away.
Oh, yes.
Right. Let us not judge them.
Yes.
It's their journey. It may look easy from the outside, but we don't know what is going on the inside.
Yeah.
Abuse is such a psychological thing.
Oh,
where even the strongest person is weakened. It's like you are being broken every five, you know, every day, a bit of yourself is being cut off, a bit and a bit. Sometimes you don't even realize it for what it is. But one day you wake up and realize, oh my goodness, I'm in an abusive situation. And at some point you might even be too weak or too finished. You know, you are so finished that you can't even get up and get out. It's just that sad, right? And some have nowhere to go. Some have no means. It's, you know, sometimes you don't even have the money to get out of the abusive situation. You really want to leave, but you don't have anywhere else to go. So it's a delicate situation. It's a very delicate situation. And I want to say that abusers know what they're doing. They're psychos. They know how to press at your buttons. They know what will bring you down. And so as a result, it's difficult to get out of that situation. You know, you're being threatened. You're being done this. You're being done. You're being done that. Some people just don't have those strong characters that will walk away. But what I want to say is, as women, let us value ourselves. Know that in spite of what has been said to you and done to you, God still loves you. You are still God's child. You're God's. You are precious, first of all, to God. Secondly, you have a family. You have someone who will always look out for you. There is somebody somewhere. And even if there may be nobody, you are still there for yourself. Get out. Get out
that.
Of there.
I absolutely love that.
If there's somebody today who is stuck in such a situation, please get out of it. I'm asking. Maybe this is the message that you need. You're not safe. It's not a happy place. It's not building you in any way. It's breaking you down. One day it might even kill you. Get out.
Get out.
It's not okay. Get out of there.
And you know, I'm actually so glad you said the words, it's not okay, because somewhere in the whole psychology of what happens within abusive relationships, you tend to normalize or rationalize that behavior. And it's not okay. Being called out of your name, being treated badly, being made to feel like a second grade citizen, it is not okay.
No, it's not.
And what are some ways, what are some things that young girls can look out for such that they know that this is not just a red flag, it is a potential dangerous situation. Let me run. What are some of those things that you can share with our young girls?
It's even the way the person reacts to situations? Do they react violently?
Yeah.
Is it, do they emotionally blackmail you? Mm. Do they gaslight you? Mm. It's those little things. Mm. If it gives you that feeling in the pit of your tummy,
ooh,
then get out of it.
Ooh.
Get out.
Because our bodies will always tell us before you're, anything else.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, your body will always tell you. So if you feel it's not okay, that is your red flag.
Mm.
To you, it's your red flag. It may not be my red flag, but it's yours. And as long as it is yours, as long as you're feeling unsafe, get out of it.
Mm. Yeah. I'd love for you to share some of the work that you've done or that you are doing. Please give us, and you don't even have to say names. And if it's sensitive, you don't even have to reveal it. But what is a success story? And as I'm even saying success story, I'm catching myself because success doesn't happen at the same rate for everyone, right? They're the quick wins that you will get. And then there's somebody who might still make bad decisions after everything they've gone through with you. But one day, you know, like that prodigal son, when he was feeding those pigs, they come back to their senses and they begin to do the thing that they were taught or the journey that they walked through with you. So what is a story you can share with us of a girl who was completely lost or whatever state they were in, and after the work you've done with them have really become a new creature and has turned their life around?
One of the young ladies I worked with was struggling with getting along with her siblings, getting along with her parents, and also struggling at school.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes you finish your sessions together and you wonder, did I get through to her? Did it make sense?
Yeah.
But, you know, after some months, you get that message from a parent, from a child. And, you know, the mom was like, I am so thankful for what you did with my daughter.
Yeah.
Her grades have improved.
Yeah.
She is a better child in the home. She's doing her chores. She's, you know, responsible with her brothers.
Mm.
And that's one of my wins. And another one that I remember was last year, where I was at a camp meeting and I was speaking to the ambassadors, the older teens.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when they're just looking at you like, what is this lady going to tell us?
Yeah.
What does she know?
Like
blah. And you're looking at them like, oh my goodness. How am I going to handle this?
Yeah.
What I can tell you is that at the end of the week, none of us wanted to leave.
Oh,
it was so emotional. The entire group, guys and girls, just came and said, thank you, Auntie Ruth. You have taught us things that, you know, we wanted, we didn't even know we needed, but you have put us on a better path for life.
Yeah.
I've had young men and young ladies getting back to me, sending me messages, emails to say, thank you for your teachings. You have really, you know, helped me to focus, to see what I'm supposed to be doing in life. And I've basically become the best version of myself.
Yeah.
And there are instances where parents and children were not getting along. And, you know, through interventions, the relationships have been mended.
Mm.
So those are just some of my wins. Yes.
Oh, I love that. And talking about wins, the truth is it's not easy building something like this. It's not easy running a business, especially a business that concerns or that deals with people so heavily as yours does. What have been some of the most challenging things that you have had to face and even are still facing as you build this business?
You know, some of the challenges I faced is support from loved ones. Not everyone will buy into your dream. Not everyone understands what you're trying to achieve. And I think those are the hard ones, because you think that somebody will support you, will, you know, be there for you. And, you know, but it's not there. And you realize that, you know what, I have to toe this line nevertheless, whether I have support from those around me or not.
Yeah.
This is my calling. It was not a conference call.
It was not a conference call.
I'm still going to do what God has called me to do, whether or not I have that support.
Yeah. Oh, Ruth, if a 17-year-old girl find you in a quiet moment and asked, Auntie Ruth, is this world safe for powerful women? What would you say?
I'd say your world is what you make it.
Ooh, okay, say more.
Your world is what you need to go. Go and be you. Be unapologetic about it.
Yeah.
Go and conquer. Go and do what you have been called to do.
Yeah. And I love that you're giving that encouragement, right? But the mistake that a lot of young girls then do is that they think that to be powerful and to fetch those dreams and to chase their ambitions and their goals, they need to do that aggressively and forsake their femininity. How do we balance soft and strong? How can women be feminine but still go after the things that they want unapologetically?
Power is not always loud.
Ah.
Power does not have to be loud.
Yeah.
Power can be soft. Do your things in silence. Mm. And one day, one day the world will wake up and say, oh my goodness, what just happened?
Yes. They won't see you coming.
Exactly. So you don't always have to be aggressive. Sometimes do your things in silence. You know, be wise, have a spirit of discernment, know what to do and when to do it. Sometimes you have to be loud, you have to fight, you know, you have to be aggressive, but you don't always have to be aggressive.
Yeah.
So figure out how to navigate these things, figure it out.
Now, I told you I've got six nieces, right? My girlies talk to me about boys. And I'm just like, are we there already? Oh, my gosh. And I think it would be such a missed opportunity if we had a conversation about young girls and we don't talk about boys. So as a big sister, as an auntie to these kids, what conversations are you having with them when they start talking to you about, I've got a crush on this one. Ooh, I think this one likes me. Oh, what can I do? Should I give this one a try? Let's talk boys for a little bit.
Talking about boys, the conversation you should have had before this conversation happened, before it started through your child, start the conversation.
Yeah.
Is this happening in our house yet or it's not?
Mm.
Such that we know what we are doing,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not happening, then what's the way forward?
Yeah.
I also think that we should open up to our children. We should be ready to have these hard conversations.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not shy away from them. So as a parent, know that it's going to happen sooner or later.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easier if you start that conversation by yourself,
mm-hmm.
than the conversation starting in any other way.
Yeah.
And when a child comes to you and tells you that they have a crush on somebody, it's normal.
Yes.
It's very normal. So let's not get angry. Mm-hmm. Let's not attack. Let's inquire. Let's find out, you know, figure out what is their thought on this. What are they going to do about it?
Mm-hmm.
And offer your advice, you know, tell them, this is what I think. Where do we balance the story?
Mm-hmm.
Give the pros and cons. So be very open to this, to having these hard conversations. The moment you had a child, hard conversation was
Ooh,
born.
Say that again.
Yeah.
The moment you had a child, a tough conversation was born. Hey.
Yes.
Yes. That is so interesting and so true. So let's give a scenario. A daughter or girl is in high school and they're just like, Mom, this guy, he is like the hottest guy in school. He's going to be head boy next year. Ooh, what can I do? What do we say to girls about dating? And I this is what I say to my nieces, right? I tell them that dating in primary school and high school is such a waste of heart. And I don't talk about time. I don't talk about money. And I talk about the heart because it is such a waste of heart. You get into these relationships with boys whose prefrontal cortex has not even fully developed. Yours is also just as fragile. They don't know what they're doing. You don't know what you're doing. You follow every script you've seen on a music video, on a romantic movie. You don't know what you're doing. But in the process, because our heart doesn't know that I'm 17 or 40, it just does what hearts do. It loves. Our minds trick us. You know, and a little bit of attention here, some nice words over there. we get tricked. And we later realize when you're now at a ripe age to start getting into relationships that you're bringing all that baggage and that hurt, and you bring it into this pure thing that could actually work out. But because you're so scarred, because you did all these silly things and made all these mistakes when you were young, you actually ruin opportunities that could end up in something beautiful. And so I really believe that dating young is such a waste of heart. But here's the thing. Even with us saying this and us guiding these girls and telling them not to do it, chances are they will behind our backs. So what can we say if they are really dating these young boys about, I don't even know whether to say how to do it properly, because I don't even think it's proper. But you're the expert. I'm not. So how do we navigate that?
First of all, thank you for all that you have said. You have in a lot of ways answered the question yourself.
Yeah.
You have. If there are any teenage girls listening in, as Auntie here has said, you are wasting your heart.
Yeah.
It is not time yet. It's not time.
Yeah.
There are things that we're supposed to be doing at certain phases in our life.
Mm.
From the ages of 1 to 10, let's say, we are still babies. We are growing mm-hmm. mentally and everything.
Mm-hmm.
We are learning how to walk, how to do different things.
Mm.
And when we come into teenagehood, you are basically learning yourself now.
Yes.
And in you learning yourself, is there time? You don't even know yourself yet, and yet you are busy making it your business to go learn about another boy who
so
doesn't know
work.
About himself either.
It's such a mess.
You know, you are supposed to be building your foundation,
yes.
who you are,
yes.
you know, building your character, figuring yourself out,
mm.
becoming the best version of yourself.
Mm.
But you are disturbing this process
mm.
by dating.
Mm.
By wasting your heart.
Yeah.
So young ladies, I would say for now, I'm not saying don't date. I'm just saying not now.
Yes.
Not now.
Not now.
But it's not yet time mm. to be dabbling in such things. What you're supposed to be doing is focusing on your books,
mm.
you know, building your character,
mm.
figuring out who you are,
mm.
establishing your values.
Yeah.
And once that is all done, then you are now ready
mm.
to be with somebody, because
mm.
you are now sure of who you are.
Mm. Mm. And that is such a big thing. You know, even in your 20s, even in your 30s, you realize that what makes relationships so much harder is people just getting into it without a full, maybe not even full, because we always, you know, learn ourselves, but without even a morsel of self-awareness and self-knowledge. And now imagine as a kid.
Mm.
It's just not worth it.
Mm.
Lastly, what will the mm-hmm. world look like when the work you are doing finally comes full circle? What is your vision of a healed, truly empowered sisterhood?
I see women that are powerful.
Ah.
I see women who are daring to go, going for their dreams.
Yes.
I see confident young ladies.
Yes.
I see young ladies who have become the best version of themselves.
Mm.
I see them, you know, being happy and at peace
yeah.
in their lives with
yeah.
who they are.
Mm-hmm.
Some still don't know who they are,
mm-hmm.
but I see a world where we are confident. We know who we are. You're not apologetic about who you are. You're not, you
yeah.
know, I just see wholesome women who are bringing to the world the best versions of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Women who are getting along with each other because we don't feel threatened by each other.
Yeah.
Instead of, you know, preying on our weaknesses, we are building each other. We're
mm-hmm.
building each other up. We are straightening each other's crowns. It's a happy place, guys. It's got rainbows and flowers and butterflies.
It's exactly like we saw it in our dreams as kids.
Yeah.
Oh, man. You know what? Our girlies are in safe hands with you. And, you know, it's very great to see these girls and to celebrate what they're doing and to to feel the pride when you see them become better people and amazing, amazing women in the world. And I think in this moment, what I want to do is to honor you and celebrate you. I pray that your voice echoes far beyond the platform you've built into boardrooms, into bedrooms, into battlefields, into birthing rooms, because the world doesn't just need more empowered women. It needs more roots. And the fact that you are doing the work means so much. Our girls are in good hands with you. And I'm so grateful that you are doing this work. Thank you so much.
Oh, my goodness. I don't even know what to say. I'm in tears. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God, you have heard. God, yeah. You have heard. Thank yeah. you so much. Yeah. I'm so grateful for this.
Oh, man, you're doing incredible work. And where do these mummies get you? Because you didn't want to tell me all your trade secrets. Where do the people who need you find you? How do they get in contact with you for you to start the coaching work with their girls?
Okay, my number, I can share with you my number. First of all, yeah. I'm in South Africa. So that is +27780486303.
Yeah.
And then you can find me on social media, on Facebook, on Instagram. I'm Ruth Chagwinya.
Oh, the Ruth yeah. Chagwinya. Thank you so much for coming through. We really appreciate your time and your wisdom. God bless you.
Thank you, and God bless you too.
Thanks, Ruth. Have a lovely evening.
Thank you. Good night.
Cheers. And that is it. That is Business Sense for today. I hope you're inspired. I hope that you get to have a conversation with your little one about what to do and what not to do and how to really show up in the world as the best version of themselves. I am Nompumelelo Mbonane, and I hope you have just made sense of your business. Fresh mercies tomorrow. Ciao for now.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.